Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings that you give us in our lives. The spiritual blessings, the sacrifice you are able to make through your Son, Jesus, to bring us back to you, that we may live with the hope, the expectation, that when we leave this place, we will be with you forever. We're grateful for these spiritual blessings, and we're grateful for the physical blessings that you give us. Clothes to wear, food to eat, a place to stay. Thank you for all of the things that you do for us. We pray now that you bless us in this hour as we will turn our hearts and our thoughts toward your word. In a very short book, and yet there's great lessons to learn from the three individuals who are in it and key themes that we will draw from it. So we will give our heart this hour to your word. Bless us, enrich us, and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. We have come to the book of 3 John on Wednesday night in our New Testament survey. The book of 3 John. Look at that, we're just like it's supposed to. 3 John. Number one, we're going to start with the author. The author is the same as the author of 1 and 2 John, also the Gospel of John, and the book of Revelation. The Apostle John wrote 5 books in the New Testament, and these are those books. All of them written by John, the aged apostle of Jesus Christ. John is now an old man here in anybody's terminology. Number two, about the book. About the book. Number one, the origin of the book. This book is believed to have been written by the Apostle John in the city of Ephesus. John lived out the rest of his life in Ephesus. In fact, secular history tells us Jesus put the care of his mother in the hands of John. That's in John 19 when he was on the cross. He told his mother, "Mother, behold your son." And he told John, "Behold your mother." And it was believed then, and there's a lot of evidence for this and a lot of writings about this, where John then took Mary and went to Ephesus and stayed there. So it's believed that the book of 3 John was written from the city of Ephesus by John in his old age. Secondly, about the book, the occasion that brought about the writing of the book. To commend Gaius, that's who the book was written to commend Gaius for his gracious hospitality to missionaries who had passed through his area. And also, the book deals with the actions of a man named Diotrephes. So the occasion that brought about the book, John writes to this man, Gaius, and commends him for his love and for his gracious hospitality to the missionaries, and then he writes to warn them about this man, Diotrephes. So, let's take a look. 3 John, it's 14 verses, and I'm going to read them so that we will then know how this book will unfold. So, 3 John, verse 1, the elder, again, that's how he addressed 2 John, an older man, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Verse 5. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. Verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephe, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Verse 11. What a great man Diotrephes is. Verse 11. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is a great book. This is a great book. And in very few words, there's like 219 words in the book. And in very few words, there's a lot of truth here. The key people who are in this letter. There are three key people who are spoken of in this letter. Now, there's actually four key people. That would be John the Apostle, but I'm going to omit him because in the letter, he talks about three people. The first person he talks about is whom the letter was addressed to. A man named Gaius. We're going to call Gaius the faithful believer. I want to share with you seven things about Gaius. That is, I'm sharing with you seven things about the man to whom this letter is addressed. Number one, all that we know about him is found in this letter. So everything that we know about this Gaius is in these 14 verses. Number two, Gaius was a very common name in the first century. In fact, there are four different men with this name Gaius who are found in the New Testament. There was the Gaius of Macedonia, in Acts 19 and in verse 29. There is the Gaius who was in Derbe in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 4. There was the Gaius of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14. And then there is the Gaius here of 3 John. So he's Gaius, all we know about him is what's in this letter, and Gaius was just a very common name. Number three, in verse one, take a look at verse one. John in the NIV refers to him as my dear friend. Your translation may say beloved brother. It's the same idea. The idea is one who was dear and precious to John. So John here is not addressing a stranger. John is addressing someone who was very precious, who was very near and dear to him. This is his dear friend, or this is his beloved brother, Gaius. Number four, verses 3 and 4, his reputation of faithful service had been spread abroad. Look at verse 3 and 4 as John talks about Gaius. it has gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So Gaius was a good man. In fact, his faithfulness and his goodness was something that had been spread around. People knew. And in other words, when people heard the name Gaius, when the man Gaius was brought up, people knew, all right, this is a good man. This is a faithful man. Application to that is the way we live is the way our name will be carried. The way we live is where our name will be carried. You can call some people by name, and whatever they are, that's what people is going to remember immediately. Well, you know, so oh yeah, he lies all the time. Well, you know, so yeah, he's drunk all the time. But when the name Gaius was mentioned, it was good things. It was a good thing. What you are, your name will carry that. Not just here, but when you're gone. Now, they may say nice things at your funeral, and they will, but when that funeral's over and everybody goes home and your name comes up, what you are is what they're going to talk about. Number five, in verses 3-6, he had shown Christian hospitalities to missionaries who had visited the community. Look at verse 3. We're going to do 3-6 now. Verse 3 again. It gives me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking by the truth. Verse 5. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. We understand that these were missionaries who come. Gaius did not, these Christian brothers were strangers, but that didn't mean anything to Gaius. What the only thing Gaius took from that is that these were Christian brothers. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for brothers, even though you are strangers to them. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. So when missionaries would come in, and we're going to talk about missionaries and what that meant in the ancient world, when these men would come through into the area where Gaius was and they were preaching, Gaius would take them in. Gaius would take them in. Number 6, verse 3. John commends him for walking in truth. For walking in truth. Most of the time when you come across the word walk or walking in the Bible, that's talking about the manner of conduct in which the person lives. He walks in the truth. And in other words, he's living his life in the truth. His manner of conduct is to obey the truth and to follow the truth. And at least twice, John will say that he walks in the truth. And in other words, his life was dedicated and was devoted to the truth. Now, let me see if it says it. Look at, look at verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. All right, read that verse, read that same verse from, who has a New King James or a King James? Read verse 4. Okay,
amen.
They walk in truth, or the idea is that they walk in the truth. Listen to me, truth is not your truth and my truth and her truth and his truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. So you understand? You say, well, everybody walks in a truth. We're not talking about a truth. We're talking about the truth. That truth is the word of God. So John commends him for walking in the truth. And then number seven is that Gaius is an example of a faithful Christian. He's an example of a faithful Christian. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back here for a second and look about him. He had a reputation for faithful service. He showed hospitality to strangers, and he walked into truth. Gaius was a great Christian, but I want you to understand, nothing earth-shattering is said about him. I don't read of a book that Gaius ever wrote. I don't see a sermon that Gaius ever preached. I don't see where Gaius ever donated $1 million to the church. What he he was a faithful servant of God. He was a faithful Christian. He lived by the truth, and he extended hospitality and kindness to others. And listen, that's what it takes to be a great Christian. That's what it takes to be a great Christian. God has equipped you with a talent. When you use that talent in the service of God, you've done what God wants you to do. Be faithful. A lot of times, listen, and this happens more times than we want to admit. A lot of times we will say, well, you know, if I can't do something big, then I'm not going to do anything at all. You don't have to do something big to impress God. What you have to do is just do what God's give you the ability to do. And that's what pleases. Gaius is, listen, he was a faithful Christian. Listen, when you die, that's all you have to be. That's all you have to be. And you don't have to climb some mountain somewhere to be that. Bloom where you're planted. Wherever you're at, be a faithful Christian and do what God has given you the ability to do, and God will be as proud of you as God was of the Apostle Paul. I wish we believed that. I wish we believed that. So there is Gaius. Now, let's talk about Diotrephes. We're going to call him the prideful leader. This man was a mess. This man was a mess. And I'm going to tell you, when he died in the first century, he wasn't the only Diotrephes that's been in the church. Now let's take a look at this. This guy is a real, he's got some issues. Verse 9. Well, now we're talking about Diotrephes. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first. He loves to be first. Listen, selfishness, me first, is the opposite of the attitude of Jesus Christ. Hold 3 John. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And then he elaborates on what the attitude of Jesus Christ. He did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. And in other words, Jesus possesses the same nature as the Father, the nature of deity, eternal. But look, verse 7. But he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. This is one of the most amazing truths you will ever learn. You and I spend every day trying to get to heaven, and Jesus was in heaven and left. But Diotrephes wanted to be first, preeminent. Now, in Philippians 2, go back up to verse 3 and 4. Paul introduces this attitude of Jesus, the attitude that we are to illuminate. He introduces it in verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Everything Diotrephes did was out of vain conceit. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Well, that's the opposite of Diotrephes. That's the opposite of this. Now, note carefully in verse 4, Paul doesn't say that you shouldn't have an interest. You have an interest. But what Paul is saying is, listen, understand that your interest is not the only interest in the world. Consider others better than yourselves. If everybody did that, problems would cease. Problems would cease. So he loves to be first. Number two, he rejects apostolic authority. Look at verse 9, 3 John, verse 9. But I wrote to you, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, look, will have nothing to do with us. Well, what was John? John was an apostle, but he rejected apostolic authority. The fact that John was an apostle didn't mean anything to Diotrephes. Why? Because it was his world and the rest of us were just living in it. This is what selfishness and this is what pride does to an individual. So I'm first. It's me. And there's some people, everything is, it's me. It's me. Number 3, verse 10, he was a gossip and spread malicious rumors. Look at verse 10. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Listen, when a person gets into sin, it will always reach their tongue. It will always reach their tongue, you know. And some people, the attitude, the best way to build me up is to tear everybody else around me down. And that's what he was doing. He was first. You don't have to listen to anybody else. You don't have to listen to the apostles. And so then he started malicious rumors and gossiping about, John said, about us. In other words, this is why you don't have to listen to them. A person doesn't get far into sin before it starts popping out of their mouth. Number 4, verse 10, he refused to welcome the missionaries. Look again, verse 10. So I come, he refuses to welcome the brothers. So you don't want to have anything to do with them. What's that tell you about him? Right, and what, no hospitality. Again, it's just about me. It's just about me. Number 5, verse 10, he expelled people from the church who did welcome the brothers. Look at end of verse 10. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Listen, this wasn't the church of Christ. This was the church of Diotrephes. And they should have went out there and changed the name of it. Yeah. And it's, listen, a lot of people are fine till they get some authority. And then they lose all control. They lose all control. Oh yeah, these are two extremes. Yeah, these are two extremes. And you wonder how Gaius and Diotrephes got, or you wonder how Diotrephes got along with Gaius. And I'm sure that he didn't. He said. But look at this. I'm first. I'm not listening to anybody else. I'm going to tear everybody else around me down. I'm not going to welcome anybody else. And if you welcome them, I'm going to throw you out. Nobody has that authority. Well, but people don't walk through the door acting like this. You know, when people come in, they don't come through the door like that. Number six, Diotrephes represents spiritual pride and abusive leadership. Spiritual pride and abusive leadership. Where, the church stops becoming Christ's church and becomes theirs. Becomes theirs. And this isn't a slam on anybody, but a lot of times we will take somebody who is successful in the world and we'll put them into leadership in the church, thinking, okay, he was successful in the world, so he will be successful in the church. And those, listen, no. No, I mean, you can't, no, those two things aren't the same. Those two things aren't the same. Yeah, yeah. And that's why you got to pray, and that's why you got to be careful. Not as long as me and another guy stay alive. Or another guy and I, whichever the way you're supposed to say that. But you understand, listen. All right, I'm going to say this and we're going to keep going. Because I've seen this. I've seen this. An elder who had a job. I've seen this up close. And his job, he worked two Sundays and then he was off a Sunday. And he worked two Sundays and he was off a Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So two Sundays he wasn't there and there. But he wanted to run the whole thing. And when the other elders would sit him down and say, listen, how are you going to run this? You don't know what's going on here. You've gone two out of three Sundays. But I'm telling you, pride gets in the way. Pride is an awful thing. Pride is an awful thing. You know, there's an old saying, anybody who's wrapped up in themselves makes a small package, and that's exactly what pride does. And that's what the problem that Diotrephes has. All right, the third guy, there are three guys. There's Gaius, there's Diotrephes, and then there is Demetrius. Demetrius was the man of good testimony. Now, and let me say this too. Here's a church, and you got Gaius, and you got Diotrephes. And that's how it is. That's how it is. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody in the church isn't Gaius. And everybody in the church, thank God, isn't Diotrephes. But you got everybody who sits in a church pew is not what they ought to be. And a lot of them are the opposite of what they ought to be. And some people come in and from the get-go, they want to run things. And how you going to run? You don't know us. You don't know us. Well, I can fix it. No, you're the one that needs fixing. You're the one that needs fixing. So here is Demetrius, verse 12. Verse 12, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone. So he has a good reputation. Look, at the end, all you got is your name and your word. You got your name and you got your word. That's it. But here's somebody, Demetrius was spoken well by everyone. He had a good reputation. Verse 12, he lived according to the truth. Look at verse 12. He's spoken well, even by the truth itself. All right? So he lived his life according to the truth. Now, major themes in the letter. So those are the three men. Those are the three men. You got Gaius, good guy. You got Diotrephes, a snake. And then you got Demetrius, a man of good reputation. And just everybody likes him. Everybody likes him. Now, we want to take a look at major themes that come up in 3 John. Okay? Major themes that come up in 3 John. And we saw some of these in the three men we looked at. But here are some of the major themes. Number one, this theme about walking in truth. Walking in truth. Now I want you to understand this. Truth is not just belief. Truth is a lifestyle. Did you hear what I said? Belief is, listen, truth is not just belief in your head. Truth is a lifestyle. Unless we are walking, living in truth, what you believe don't matter. What you believe don't matter. Is a manifestation of the truth. Yeah. You understand what I mean? Listen, that's like people who talk about Bible study. You know, I read so many chapters a day, or I study the Bible. Listen to me. Until you take what you've read every day, or until you take what you've studied and put it in your life, your Bible study's not finished. Your Bible study's not finished. And that same way with it. Well, I believe in God and then live like the devil. No, you don't believe in God. You have to walk in truth. It isn't just what's in your head. It's what's in your lifestyle as well. So walking in truth. That phrase is used over and over again in that book. Number two, Christian hospitality. Gaius was big on strangers, missionaries who'd come in and he'd put them up. Now, here's why that was a big deal. In the early church, missionaries depended on Christians for lodging and support. It wasn't like, you know, they come in town, okay, we're going to put you up in a hotel. And these missionaries didn't have money for motels. Listen, that was true 75 years ago. That was true 75 years ago. When these missionaries would travel, when they got to where they were going, they were totally dependent on where they were for somebody that let them have somewhere to lay down and go to sleep and let somebody feed them.
Today in other countries, my brother-in-law is in Africa right now. He says when he goes to church, he takes care of
him. Yeah, because they're totally dependent on that. They're totally dependent on that. Everything isn't like America. Everything isn't like America.
If you're going to offer your hospitality, you have to be sure that it is a Christian hospitality. And, you know, not just anybody can be hospitable.
Right, yeah. Not everybody is hospitable. Not everybody is hospitable. Another one is the danger of pride in leadership. Diotrephe, as much as anybody in the New Testament, Diotrephe shows us the damage that ego can do in the church. And you don't have to be a leader in the church to have an ego. Because sometimes you can sit brethren down in all the love in the world and say and try to have a talk with them. They're not going to listen. They're not going to do it. And from that day on, they don't like you. And the whole problem is their ego. Their whole problem is pride.
They don't know that.
We have to be humble enough to accept what people say to us. You have to be humble enough to say, to take what people say to us. But listen. But this isn't close. This isn't close. Pride and ego have destroyed more churches than false doctrine, and it ain't close. It isn't close. I don't know of one church of Christ that has split over the virgin birth. Well, here's a group, we don't believe that. I don't know of one church that split over whether or not baptism for remission of sin. What we split over is pride and ego, not what's in the scripture. So, finally, the power of a good reputation. Demetrius shows us that your character speaks loudly. Your character speaks loudly. So those are some of the major themes that have come up. Now, let me give you a simple outline of this letter. This is a great outline, and you will remember this, and you won't forget this. Here is an outline of the book of 3 John. Number one, a faithful man, Gaius, verses 1 through 8, it talks about Gaius, and he was a faithful man. Number two, a selfish man, Diotrephes, verses 9 and 10. Number three, a respected man, Demetrius, verses 11 and 12. That's the book of 3 John right there. That's the outline. Gaius is 1 through 8. Diotrephes is 9 and 10, and Demetrius is verse 11 and 12. That's how you can remember. Again, put that on the if you got room right where 3 John starts in your Bible, write that down. You'll remember it forever. Now, here's the question. Which one are you becoming? Right? Which one are we becoming? The faithful man, the selfish man, or the respected man? Every Christian is becoming one of them. Every Christian is becoming one of them. The purpose of the letter. The purpose of the letter. And we've covered it, but I want this to be separate. There's two purposes. Number one, to commend Gaius for his faithfulness. Again, Gaius didn't dedicate $1 million to build some Christian school somewhere. He was just a faithful Christian who served where he was. He did what he could. And that man has a letter in the Bible that was written to him. Did you hear what I said? There is a book in the Bible, one of 66. A book in the Bible was written to a man who was faithful where he was and did what he could. Number two, the purpose of the book is to rebuke Demetrius for his high-handedness. What did I say? I'm just checking to see if you're listening. Diotrephes, to rebuke Diotrephes for his high-handedness. Listen, some people in church are high-handed. Yeah, they're not going to be corrected. And if you correct them, they'll leave and go somewhere else. And they'll leave mad, they'll go somewhere else Sunday and sit in a pew and sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And they will sing when we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it'll be. Well, it'll be a day of rejoicing when some folk get there. Miscellaneous. Here's a great trivia question about 3 John. All right? 3 John is the shortest book in the New Testament. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. There's more verses in 2 John than there is in 3 John, but there's fewer words in 3 John than there is 2 John. You understand what I just said? 3 John is the shortest book in the New Testament word-wise. Word-wise. There are more verses in 2 John, but there's fewer words. Yes, what I said a minute ago. 3 John is the shortest book in the New Testament word-wise.
2 John.
All right? Listen, you bathe. Okay. Okay, are we good? All right, we got stuff we still got to do here. Okay, lessons to remember. There's some powerful stuff right here. And here's where we make application to us. Number one, may our brethren be able to bear record that we are walking in the truth. Look at verse 3. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. All of us ought to live our lives so that brethren know we are walking in the truth. Listen, we shouldn't have to have a program to tell who's Christian and who's not. We shouldn't have to read some, okay, or why, to know somebody and say, well, okay, well, which side is he living on? If people don't know which side you're living on the wrong side. Because being a Christian will make you different. It will make you, and especially in this godless world. I mean, if they're confusing you with all this mess out there, you got some real issues with Jesus. Okay. All right, I got to ask you a question. You said you are of the age. Stay out of this. What age is that?
Her whole statement, that's all you caught, right?
And slow down with that blue jean hat on. All right, yeah. No, but I just wonder. I just wonder. And you know what? At my age, it's true, too. My age is true, too. And she's 83, and I'm 38. So There we go. Number two, when we assist those who preach the gospel, we become fellow workers with them. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Now, and understand the context. The context is that Gaius took these missionaries who had nothing. Gaius took these missionaries in and showed hospitality to them. Now listen to what John says about Gaius because he did that. Verse 8. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. You understand what he's saying there? You got that? When we assist those who are preaching the gospel, then we become fellow workers with them. Because without us, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Many years ago, I had a cousin who was a missionary in Thailand. He went to Thailand and he stayed 7 years to teach the Thai people. He was there for 7 years. Listen, without support, it would have never happened. It would have never happened, okay? And so everybody who helped support that, everybody who helped supported him were helping him support that work. So they were part of that work because without them, there would have never been that work. Number three, we must guard our hearts lest Satan plants the spirit of Diotrephes in us. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, would have nothing to do with us. Listen, that's of the devil. That's of the devil. Diotrephes didn't wake up one morning and think he was God's gift to everything. The devil planted that in his head. And that's why we have to always, and when I say always, I mean we have to every day be on the lookout for the devil. Because if he can't get you one way, he'll get you another way. If he can't get you one way, he will get you another way. All right, I got one more of these, I think. Number four, always remember, imitate not with that which is evil, but that which is good. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Turn over to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We need to imitate what's good and not what is evil. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Christian life and he's talking about love. And look how he ends it in verse 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil is ever present. And it doesn't take a lot of effort to get into doing something evil. Evil's easy. Because the devil will always keep evil right at hand. Listen. And he says up here earlier, look at verse 9, Romans 12 and verse 9. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cleave to what is good. Listen, we need to hate what's evil. If you hate what's evil, you're not going to be as tempted to get involved in it. We need to imitate what is good and not what is evil. And our relationship with evil is that we ought to hate evil. We ought to hate evil. Okay. Okay. We're going to have, see, that was put on the bottom so I wouldn't forget. All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer and then we're going to answer questions. All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this little book with such great, great lessons. Help us to follow the examples of men like Gaius and Demetrius. And help us to avoid the Diotrephes. And help us to pray for them. Bless us now as we will depart this place in a few moments. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.